This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate. Hey, all cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, it's better late than never. And how are you?
I'm great, Josh. Yes, indeed. Time. It is a flat circle, as they say. We were away doing some travel in New Haven this weekend. We'll touch quickly upon that. But yeah, where is our FPL? We have a break coming up this weekend for the FA Cup, which is going to lead into a lot of our discussion after game week 27. But yeah, you were saying to me, you took a day off of Twitter because it's hard to tell what the conversation is other than like mild panic and depression.
Yeah. It was like a lot of anguish over Man City players that people had or didn't have. We'll talk about that more in a minute. A lot of early chip theory, like, you know, like, when am I going to use all my free hit chip, my wild card? When am I going to do all that stuff? All that stuff. Well, it's like a million different conversations all yes. around. None of which can be resolved because we don't know when the double. You know, we don't really know who's going to play who in any of these matches yet.
Josh, so. I was watching a little bit of Rick and Morty not long ago, and there is lots of talk about infinite universes and infinite mm-hmm. versions of yourself.
Yes.
And that is what chip theory is. It is an infinite. It's an infinite level of possibility.
Yeah, I was just thinking recently about just how difficult the FPL game is compared to like your normal draft game. Like, I like the challenge of it. Like, I sincerely like it. I think it's fantastic. But there is something to be said for just like having your own players, right? Just like not worrying about the chips so much. It's just like you just got your guys. You're on the waiver wire. You know, but sometimes it's like, oh man, it's like I kind of maximize my chips, and you know, it's like only one person in a draft league could have Sané. You know, only one person's game last two games would be destroyed. You know, it'd be a totally different thing.
Right. All right, we have tons of questions to get to, but first, yeah, this weekend we were in New Haven for the Yale Soccer Conference. I hope everyone listened to our great interview with Tyro Arruda, who is the founder of that conference. We had a great time. So big thanks to Tyro. Also big thanks to Pierre Moussa, who is the producer of NBC's Premier League coverage here in the States. We did a great interview with him, which we're going to be sharing with you guys in next week's episode. Also had a great time hanging out with our friends Jazz and Tilo, Bruno from Upper 90, and also, of course, Leo and Kieran from ESPN. And probably the biggest thing we did, though, Josh, with concern to always cheating when in New Haven, was we finally cracked open a couple of Stephen Toomey's Two Cheaters Ales, yep. Stephen brewed especially for us. At the end of this episode, we have a little podcast we recorded while cracking these beers open in New Haven.
There was a lot of excitement in the air, too, because this came just after you had yelled at the Airbnb proprietor. And so
do you think that's going to ding my rating?
Oh, for sure. You're getting like a 2 or a 3. That was not good. Like that was – it was the – yeah, you were – it was a sign of you. This must be, you know, director Brandon, like in your full-time job. It was terrifying. It was a real dressing down.
That's a window into my work life, Ian Stimson, wherever you are.
I agree, though. I had a really great time at the conference. I had a great time. We finally got a chance to try some famous New Haven pizza, which really was delicious. And I went to this place called Bar in downtown New Haven. And I'll just second what you said about Pierre Moussa. He was he's kind of my hero now, I have to admit. I kind of want to be him. You know, it's like it's a little creepy, to be honest. You know, it was really just fantastic. He was just a great guy and gave a fantastic presentation there as well. So, you know, and we're big fans of NBC's coverage of the Premier League in the United States anyway. So just to get some, you know, like insight from the person who's producing those was very fantastic. So next week's podcast will have it's a nice long extended interview, too. So we'll include that in next week's pod. Brandon, game week 26, it is completed. It was another one with some high emotions. You know, obviously Leroy Sané didn't play at all. The real story to me was the Aubameyang fitness issue. I mean, it was like there was a moment on Friday afternoon where I was looking at photos and reading discussions, and it was that you know you're obsessed with something when you do the Twitter search. And instead of top tweets, you go to latest, you know, because there's like 10, okay, 2 different ways
to look. Sure.
Latest is where like the worst, you know, if you want to see just the worst people on Twitter, you know, go to that latest tab and search for something, you know, it's just all like, it's just people saying horrible things to each other. And, you know, it's bad. But I was so desperate to find out what was going on with Aubameyang. And it was like, I spent like a long time on this. And I was like,
Answer this question for me.
Yes. Yeah. Go ahead.
What made the Aubameyang thing different than the Jamie Jackson Aguero thing from earlier in the season? Or was there no difference?
Well, there was a difference because, I mean, it was recorded. You know, Unai Emery himself said that he was sick, and it looked by all accounts and by other reports that he had not, you know, trained that day and that he had not boarded the bus. So many of us, you know, who had waited until Friday to make a transfer, and many of us, I think both me and you, were planning on going Aubameyang to Aguero. I mean, Aguero to Aubameyang.
Yes, we were quite emphatic about that on last week's episode.
I know. I felt bad about that. I mean, but honestly, I mean, first of all, you don't know how anything, you know, it's like the butterfly effect or whatever. You know, it's like you don't know. Yeah. Aubameyang could have annihilated Huddersfield on Saturday. It certainly wouldn't.
We can feel sorry for any listener who has no access to the internet or news source other than our podcast.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So everyone else out there has access to the same, you know, websites, Twitter feeds, so on and so forth.
If you're off the grid and someone downloads this podcast, puts it on a flash drive, gives that to you, and then you put on some kind of closed circuit TV situation. Sure. Then yes, I am sorry.
And then you put a letter in the mail to ask your friend to make the Aubameyang transfer on your behalf. Then yes, we do apologize to you.
So let's talk about our game weeks themselves a little bit, Brandon. I finished on 74 points. It was good. I mean, I'm not going to complain about 74 points. It was, you know, I mean, it was all based on having Aguero for that hat trick. I feel like I'm in that nosebleed section now where it really takes a lot to move up, and like nothing at all to move down. So, I moved up to 2,660 overall, which is, I'm not sure I've ever actually been this high, like at this early in the season. So, you know, that's pretty exciting, but it was only 200 spots up from where I was before. And that was with, you know, 74 points. So, I think the real issue, and I'm certainly not going to complain about that, but the real issue with my team was just Wolves. I got, you know, a total of, I was really kind of looking forward to this. It almost felt like a free roll. You know, I knew I had a pretty decent game week, and it was like, well, I've got Patricio, Doherty, and Jimenez coming up. And like, if I can get anything from even one of those players, it'll be great. And
surely you'd get something. Sure.
You'd think one return from one of them, you know? And I guess Patricio, exactly.
A Patricio save point, let's say that.
Yeah, but I would say of the three, none of them were at their best. Jimenez had one decent little run, but it just didn't have like any kind of accuracy in that match. And you know, Doherty felt like he was kind of just he was really out wide. He wasn't, you know, they kind of moved to this slightly different formation right now, and I wonder if that just, I don't know. Maybe he doesn't. It seems like he has to like cover more ground to attack than he did before. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Patricio is just not very good. He's kind of like, I don't know. He feels a little bit like Simone Mignolet, you know, like, okay. I feel like, I mean, yeah. Patricio, I know that he is a fantastic keeper. I mean, but he is in his, you know, mid 30s. I mean, that's kind of when Peter Cech started to, you know, drop off a little bit too. So I just doesn't feel like he commands his box very well. You know, it feels like he doesn't come out and claim the ball or, you know, run out to sort of cut off the angle for a, you know, for a goal scorer and just all those things that like require like a little bit of speed, you know, from a goalkeeper.
It's not exactly levels of Rio Ferdinand going to QPR for the twilight of his career, but there is still it's always kind of painful to see a once great player sort of have their swan song and right. slowly fade away. And that's what Patricio is seemingly doing. He was definitely at fault. It was just poor.
The whole defense was really, I mean, it was poor keeping, but I mean, you know, obviously like there was a massive gap in that defense that they exploited to score that. No one came off well in that goal.
All right. You're dancing around the fact that your transfer was Sané to Son, and I sat through an entire diner breakfast of you complaining about this move. And right as we settled the check, he scored a goal. So you had your moment in the sun there. Truly had your moment in the sun. This was an unintentional pun.
This is a famous diner breakfast. This is a diner breakfast where you and I are both like, yeah, we're not going to talk for like 3 days after this. And the podcast is coming out on Wednesday mostly because of that diner breakfast. So it was like a little too much. Yeah, a little too much fantasy. Having this weekend off, I think, is going to be restorative for a lot of managers out there.
All right. I finished on 71 points and decently happy with that. My biggest stumbling block was Matt Ryan against Burnley. And it felt like Brighton had never played in the rain before and they didn't quite know how to handle that. Mm-hmm. On top of that, Chris Wood was just running rampant all over that back line. And that was a bad beat. I just have not been able to get the goalkeeper rotation right at all this season. I am chasing points every week between Patricio and Ryan. I would have been more than happy with the two from Patricio this week. My move was, what was my move actually? Oh yeah. So my move was really boring. I dropped Lucas Dean for Matt Doherty. Mm-hmm. I jumped back on the Doherty train after dropping him in favor of Laporte. And the Everton blank upcoming and me just kind of being scared generally of Doherty influenced that move. And more of a defensive move than anything else. So a small green arrow breaking into the top 18K range, very much treading water at this point.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, although treading water is not that bad, I think when you're in the top 20K, you know, I mean, it's kind of like, you know.
Yeah, it's that point in the season where we are kind of biding our time until we start busting out those chips to punch through to the rank that we want to achieve by the end of the season.
Yeah, and this is where, again, it's funny. I feel like I'm like I was paid by the Draft League people or something to with my commentary in this week's episode. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there is, like the problem right now is that there's a very samey, very template-y team out there, especially until – if Kane actually comes back in 27 or 28, then I think that'll start to mix things up a little bit. But right now, you know, there's a lot of people that have extremely similar teams, especially with Man United sort of coming into the fore, a lot of us were able to get those players, you know, very cheap prices. And so it was, I feel like it's been hard to like really rise up the rankings the last couple of game weeks. Cause you really need to have like, you know, it's like everyone's kind of like rising and falling at the same, like once you get up to a certain level, it's like everyone's kind of rising and falling just a little bit, you know, cause the teams are so similar.
Yeah. Okay, so you mentioned Aubameyang was the big issue coming into game week 26. Jeff Waugh from Schma asks, I'm not sure if he meant this rhetorically or not, but I genuinely think it's an interesting question to ask. Jeff says, why can't the official FPL allow fantasy managers to make changes to teams after lineups have been announced up until kickoff? It would solve a lot of problems. This used to be the case with midweek games, but that functionality mysteriously disappeared. Can you make a compelling case as to why we're not able to do this?
I mean, I guess it's like server upload time or something. I mean, the problem is, you know, would you be able to change them before all of the matches, or would it just be before the first match? Because, the thing is, like, if you'd known that Marcus Rashford wasn't going to start, as was heavily rumored before that, I probably would have started him anyway. Right. Because if he was going to play 30 minutes against Fulham, I kind of want that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And in the end, I got 1 point from Wan-Bissaka on my bench instead. So it was like, you know, worst case, it was a wash, you know? So
sure. As my final go with Leroy Sané, thinking, fine, I'll get, you know, upwards of 20, 30 minutes of him coming off the bench against Chelsea. Yeah. Little did I know, but I would still have been content getting at least that much from him. So that was a bit painful.
The real issue is that there isn't an American style, you know, injury report, which is like a very standard thing in American sports, right? You know how healthy players are in matches. And it's like, it's basically for gamblers, I guess, but gambling is an even bigger thing in the UK than it is here. So I'm a little surprised that they don't do it that way, but you really just don't know sometimes, right? It's like, oh yeah, he's got a dead leg. Right. Not probably going to play in this match. It's like, well, I didn't know that on Friday, you know? Uh-huh. I mean, I don't remember anybody talking about him having a dead leg in any, you know, I mean, like, and everyone's like, well, it's rumor, but it's like, you know, you don't know. It's like, you know, there's, you pop on like, you know, page 47 of 52 on the Fantasy Football Scout forum and someone mentions Rashford's injury. It's like, well, who is this guy? You know, it's like just some avatar, you know? It's like, how am I supposed to trust anybody who just says this kind of random stuff?
Yeah.
You know, so or it's like, oh, Aguero got injured in the warmups, you know, he's not going to play. It's like, you know, this, like before every single match, someone pops on and says accurately or inaccurately that so-and-so, some highly owned player got injured, you know?
Yeah.
And right. It's like 8% of the time it's true. Yeah. So, you know, I don't know. I just it would be nice if like that, you know, that would be the fix I'd like to see more than the official FPL game changing is just having like actual injury reports about whether someone's questionable, doubtful, probable, you know, that would make decisions a lot easier.
Yeah, I'm generally fine with the cutoff because I think it's just a very level playing field. You're going to have really bad weeks where you get burnt by it, but that's fine. We all agree to the terms. We accept them and we move on.
Sure.
All right, so we have one more question before we get to the Always Cheating Super League and a few other housekeeping issues. Of course, Game Week 27 doesn't kick off for more than a week. Rob Barlow wrote in and asked, do you have some kind of a Jedi mind trick to stop me from making transfers before next Friday night? Of course, a lot of people got burned on making that Aubameyang transfer well early on, coming off of Aguero in the double game week. That being very near the front of my mind, I'm almost definitely not making any transfers, not even based on market value until the end of next week. I don't know what kind of trick to tell you other than just don't do it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that we both, you know, both of us got extremely lucky this game week in a sense. But I mean, that luck was born out of experience and born out of knowing that you always have to wait until Friday to make those transfers. And you just ignore those 0.1 people really overrate the 0.1 price rises and falls. I mean, I know every now and then it's like you have exactly the money to make that move. But, you know, in this case, Aubameyang was cheaper than Aguero. So it wasn't like you needed to move it, you know, move him immediately. So, I mean, you know, I think it was one of those situations where it was just like you have to wait. And yeah, I mean, it was lucky only because of how extreme it was. I mean, you know, who would have thought that it would be so extreme that Aguero would outscore Sané by what ended up being what, like 36 points or something like that, or 37? I don't know what the math, you know, comes out to.
Aguero versus Sané over the last two game weeks?
Yeah.
Yeah. 35 points, actually.
35 points. Right. Yeah. So that's extreme, you know, like it's like that is lucky. Like there's no point.
That is a level of extreme that is extreme with no E. It just is extreme starting with the letter X, T-R-E-M-E. Yeah,
like the band. There's more than words, Brandon, to show you how lucky I felt after that
Mountain
match.
Dew sponsored that points differential.
So it was wild. I mean, and you know, I don't know. I mean, there was a lot of like why I'm leaving FPL type stuff popping up all over the place. And I can understand that. I will say it's never as bad as it seems, you know. It's never like, I mean, you were talking, I remember you told the story last year about, you know, not having Aguero for you know, he scored 4 goals in a match late last season, and uh-huh. I think I captained him. You didn't even have him in your team. You know, and in the end, you know, I think you still had a, you know, good season. So it's just like, it didn't like, you know, these things do not like, there's just so many points available in so mm-hmm. many game weeks that even Aguero going out for 17 points, it wasn't like he was heavily captained, you mm-hmm. know, even overall, he was captained by 10% of managers, but you know, most of that 10% are probably, you know, dead, like inactive teams, you know, so, so it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, I do think if there was a little more price fluctuation or volatility with Aubameyang earlier in the week, I may have done it myself, but I definitely feel quite lucky. All right, let's do some quick Patreon thank yous. Josh, you want to read through these?
Yes, I do. So I appreciate so we have, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, we have 5 new patrons, and we have a new Lord Sorloth patron, Dag Tuvronigan. And mm-hmm. Dag Tuvronigan wrote,
I think
sorry,
he nailed
Josh,
it.
In his name. But Dag, I think I pretty much hit that one out of the park.
Sounds like you were practicing that one off mic.
I did. I read it a couple times earlier today to see if I could actually get it right. We have a couple of new MBCani patrons as well. Hank Ruff, great name. Matthew Core, very solid name too. Dave Perrins, solid name. Brendan, I think I have to say solid name for all these patrons now. Sam Walters, also a solid name. Hank Ruff, though, that's the best. I'm sorry, guys. So thank you. I mean, Dev Tuvronigan is off. He's a different cat. He's different Patreon tier.
Next level stuff, man.
Yeah, exactly. So if you'd like to support what we do, visit patreon.com/alwayscheating. We had a note on Facebook from Brent Nunkus, who's been a longtime Patreon supporter of ours, and he said, you know, some patrons may not know that we actually have, you know, multiple different Patreon levels. We changed a bunch of them, you know, at the start of last season. So if you're a longtime patron and you want to see what the other features are available, you know, are there. And I never want to hard sell anybody in this stuff. It's like just supporting the podcast alone is so great. And not anything that we ever take for granted. But if you do want to go check it out, you know, go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. Or if you just want to pledge for the first time, patreon.com/alwayscheating. And, you know, Brandon, I think we're about 6 episodes in now to our Kitchen Table Sessions podcast. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's basically just a bonus podcast. So what we're going to try to do is just at any pledge level, you get 2 podcasts a week. You get the regular podcast, which everyone's available for everybody. And then you get a late in the week Patreon, you know, exclusive podcast where we talk about our moves. We take questions from patrons. You know, we talk about, you know, strategy heading into the next game week. The response has been great on that so far. So I think for that alone, it's worth checking out Patreon.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks to everyone for your support and always cheating. Patreon.com/alwayscheating. All right. To the rest of the world, Always Cheating Super League, the most competitive league. I'm sorry, Patrick Van Aanholt, League mm-hmm. of Doing Bits. It is Super mm-hmm. League time. We haven't run through the top 10 in a while yet, so here we go. Let's do it. Tied. We have a tie at number 10. It's Chris McCartney and Joseph Switalski. In ninth mm-hmm. place, it's Jorgen Yiski Rogvag.
Well done.
Which is superb, super, superb name. Eighth place, Amal Chitalia. Seventh place, Adni Calderfoss. Sixth place, Eric Sandvik. In fifth, it's Richard Jenkins. Third place, where do we get that skip? Oh, I guess because there's a tie for 10th. We have no fourth place. Very, very tricky, FPL. All right, so in third, it's Sune Jacobsfield. In third place, Matthew Shannon. Wait, there's another tie? This is very confusing. So many ties. I did want to shout out Richard Jenkins, who reached out to us on Twitter and said, this is basically what his whole life had been building to, getting his name read out in the Always Cheating Super League.
It's a man who has several kids, several doctorates too. And for this to be, No, but no, it was very sweet of him. He just that to give us anyone, you know, who gives a shout out to the Super League on social media is a permanent friend of the Cheaters.
All right, that was enough of a dramatic pause for the main event here, the top two in the Super League right now. In second place, a man who seemed unbeatable a month ago, Miroslav Pujic. He's dropped to second place. And a new number one, it's Jason Mann, two girls, one Klopp. And he is sitting on a total score of 1,769. Well done to Jason Mann. It's never too late to join the Always Cheating Super League. We're 6,000 strong and growing. Just go to alwayscheating.com and click the league tab.
That's great. Yeah, Brendan, I'm in 76th in the Always Cheating Super League, which I think in all the years we've done this is the highest I have ever been. It is so insanely competitive that even cracking the top 100 is like a massive accomplishment. So
it's hard to do.
Yeah, congratulations to everyone in the top 10.
Okay, moving on to rants of the week. Obviously, a lot of people got burned, so let's hear about it. First rant comes from Football Fever. Lesson learned. This is a fun one, Josh, as non-Kolasinac owners. Football Fever says, lesson learned, never trust Arsenal defense. Second time in 3 game weeks that Kola lost a clean sheet. And now I will start my editorial in that not only it's a drastic understatement to say that Kola just lost a clean sheet, is it not?
It was amazing. I mean, so you and I were actually in a panel led by the Barcelona board of directors or someone, a woman from it, and not the whole board. That would be amazing. But a woman from the board of directors. And because we are such fantasy nerds and this was taking place at like 11:30 on a Saturday, which is, you know, for the 3 p.m. games in UK time, I was obsessively refreshing the end of these matches. And at some point I looked down and I was like, wow, like, so Arsenal, like, they conceded a goal in the 93rd minute. It was a Kolasinac clean sheet. It was incredible. I mean, it absolutely, like, ridiculously bad luck, or
the own goal was the insult to injury there, not just the losing of the clean sheet. Kola was looking golden heading into that 93rd minute with his assist and a clean sheet and his bonus points, 12. And then just like totally wiped away.
It's weird because this is a guy who steadfastly refuses to shoot on goal. It's like he always looks for the extra pass. Unselfish to a fault, I would say.
Do you think he watches the movie Hoosiers every time he steps on the pitch?
That's true. I think it probably is. Yeah,
every player has to touch the ball before they score.
Exactly. And he always points to the assister afterwards. So I think, but it was such a nice finish from him. You know, he kind of side footed into his own net. So it was maybe he was just jealous of all the goals in the game.
Yeah. All right. Let's get back to some of those wonderful Sané stats we mentioned earlier. FPL Osimo writes in with the rant. How do you get back on track when your whole season has been potentially derailed solely by picking Leroy Sané as your Man City double game week asset? We've got some stats here. So from game week 21 to 24, here's how the points shake out for Sané, Sterling, and Aguero. Sané is on 32 points, Sterling 22, Aguero 21. Then you get to double game week 25 and then game week 26. Leroy Sané, 1 point. Sterling, 29 points. Aguero, 36 points. It is in one way a complete inverse, in another way just a horror show for Sané.
Totally. And I want to answer Osimo's question for a second. But I just to push back slightly. Okay, just slightly, and not to be a jerk here. Okay,
all right.
But I mean, it was always a massive, massive risk not to go into a double game week with more than one Man City player. Okay, it just was like you know, in the end, I didn't even have the guts to do it. I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to do a Koki, and even I was like, you know what, I need to have a Man City player because they're playing two bad defenses. Mm-hmm. You know, and I mean, you didn't even add Laporte here. I mean, Laporte finished on what 31 points over the 2 game weeks as well. So, you know, I think it was definitely bad luck, and it's incredibly bad luck how extreme the results were. But I mean, part of the reason to have two Man City assets or three was to spread out that risk a little bit, you know, because we all know that Pep's going to rotate a lot. So, you know, so I think if you had a good game week, you shouldn't feel guilty about it or bad. You know, if you brought in Aguero, I mean, not that any of these people are really like bad mouthing the other managers or whatever, but like, I know I was starting to feel a little guilty about it. And I was like, well, I mean, I did bring them in for a reason, you know, I don't know. So it's, Anyway, should we get back to Osmo's question now that I've like been a total jerk about his question?
It kind of feeds into everything that we're going to discuss throughout the episode, how you get your season back on track, or do you consider your season potentially derailed? Yeah, it's just a bad beat, particularly the triple captaincy on Sané. And
it's a horrible beat.
The ridiculousness of the 0 points against Chelsea. we have a question later on that I think we should just answer now from our listener, Jats, who says, keep or sell Sané? You know, we can talk about replacements later on, but at this point, if you still have Sané, is this an asked and answered situation? He's got to go, right?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, for now, I mean, you know, he's kind of like a form player a little bit, you know, like he's like a guy who can get super hot and then
you can't be a form player when your manager won't even let you touch the pitch. I agree with you generally. Yeah. And
we're only 3 weeks removed from like, you know, 2 double-digit returns in 3 matches. So, I mean, it's not like. You know, I mean, he had a goal and assist in the Huddersfield match, scored the game-winning goal in the Liverpool match. You know, so, I mean, these were all, like, within the last 5 weeks. So, I mean, it's not like I think he's just, like, done and dusted forever as a fantasy asset. It's just he's in a terrible patch. I mean, I guess it's, like, a long way of agreeing with you. Yeah, I don't think you can have Sané. I think you've got to drop him. There are so many candidates to drop him for. It makes it very easy. Yeah. You know, I mean, I would consider burning 4 to drop him for Sun.
All right, so it's one thing to be burned by Sané by keeping him. It's another thing to be burned by Aguero by not having him. Kun Karam, who even has Kun in his name, says, I want to open a petition on introducing a new chip called Get Me Aguero In Now Chip. This will prevent me missing out on his hauls for 1 game week. My hero destroyed me. What do you guys think? What do you think about this chip? Get Me Aguero Now.
Okay, Brian, here's a question for you. Over the many, many years of the podcast, is there any single person that we've talked about more than Aguero?
There's only one person that we've talked about so much that we actually had to give him an entirely different name so that our podcast didn't get flagged as spam by iTunes. So right. For longtime listeners, you'll know him by the name of Brock Toon. So yeah, there's no one we've discussed more than him.
I mean, Aguero, it's Aguero. He's great. He's just a funny player. I don't really know. I mean, it's weird because, I mean, everyone gets injured. It's weird that, like, he seems more injury prone. It's weird that we all have him. I don't know. I mean, I guess in the end, I probably had him for, what, like 17 out of 26 weeks this season, you know? Yeah. So, but he's not quite in that king category, is there, where you just feel like, He's gonna start every single match. Yeah, play 90 minutes in every single match, and
that's the pain point with him.
Yeah, and the first half of the season, he wasn't very good away. I mean, he wasn't very good away to Everton, you know. But he's amazing at home, and he starts a lot of these home matches, and they just destroy teams at home. So, yeah. I don't know. I mean, you know, what do you think about? You know, are you currently planning to keep him for game week 27?
There are a lot of unanswered questions with my squad right now. I'm even contemplating a wild card going into game week 27, just given the situation with the blank and being able to just put my cards on the table as we look ahead to the double game week. So,
well, let's why don't we take a break, Brandon? We can talk more about game week 27.
Okay, let's do it.
All right, Brad, we're back. Looking ahead to game week 27 in particular. Just a reminder, in game week 27, we have 4 teams that will not be playing. Those 4 teams are Man City, Chelsea, Brighton, and Everton. And that's because Man City and Chelsea are playing in the League Cup final that weekend. The Chelsea-Everton fixture, obviously, it was rescheduled for game week 25. We don't know yet when the Chelsea-Brighton fixture will get rescheduled. There are some, like, strong... There's a couple of strong candidates, but I don't want to get into that speculative stuff yet because
I can tell you one thing, Josh. I'm going to be watching the weather report for rain. If it's raining, that's where my triple captainship is going.
Yeah, I know. It's just like, once you go down that road, it's someone was asking us on Twitter, like, when we're going to start talking really seriously about chip theory. And my feeling is, let's just wait a little bit longer. Let's give it a little more time. Let's wait until at least some of these matches have been announced, you know, before we really dig into it. because otherwise I think it's fine on Twitter. I think, you know, with, if you've got, you know, Ben Krellin spreadsheets in front of you, you can look at percentages and all that stuff. It's fine. You can look it up, you know, 12 game weeks in a row and kind of see where the gaps might be. But I think on a podcast, it just doesn't sound, it's hard to follow, in my opinion. So I think, you know, but we'll have a lot more chip stuff in the coming weeks.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's just look to game week 27 in the meantime. Andrew Siegel writes in and asks, I don't have a full 11 for next weekend and no money in the bank. What's your strategy? So, all right, let's just get a lay of the land here. Where are our teams with, in terms of fielding a full 11? Can you field a full 11 right now?
Yes, I can field a full 11 right now. It's not a great 11. I don't really want to be starting Crystal Palace defenders away to Leicester. I actually have all five of my defenders are away. So that's not great. In fact, let's see, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 of the 11 players I could field are playing away matches, Brandon, which seems like, that seems bad.
Yeah, it's not great.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm honestly not that worried about it. Because I just don't see like a lot of like fixtures this game week that are going to be like, you know, hugely explosive where, you know, if you don't have X player, then you're just going to be crushed. I mean, yeah, the teams that play are Man United and Liverpool, and everybody's got Man United and Liverpool players, you know? I mean, mm-hmm. You know, the one thing I don't have right now is any Arsenal players, and I wish I could trust an Arsenal midfielder. And so for me right now, Brandon, the situation is basically this. I'm either going to bring in Felipe Anderson for Richarlison, or I'm going to bring in Aubameyang for Aguero. Mm-hmm. And the pluses for Anderson for Richarlison is that I get to keep Aguero, right? He's got a good game week 28 fixture. Obviously, he's in great form right now.
He's an okay form, Josh. Okay.
Just okay. Yeah, exactly. Just the 7 goals in the last 4 games.
Don't get ahead of yourself now.
Yeah, exactly. I may have misspoke. I actually think it's 8-5 because I think he scored with like 10 minutes left in the FA Cup match too. So, you know, the advantage of bringing in Aubameyang, though, as a possible hokey cokey again, where I bring him in for just one game week, mm-hmm. Is that he is, I think, the best captain option for game week 27. And, you know, the captaincy, as we know, is so crucial. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I trust Felipe Anderson enough to captain him at home to Fulham.
Yeah, there is a huge temptation to find some way to play that West Ham-Fulham game, given that Fulham's defense continues to be the worst in the league. I myself, I guess technically I could field a full 11, assuming that Phil Billing and Valbuena on West Ham will play, but both would be uncertain. And those are both players that you don't get really happy about playing.
I'm starting Højbjerg as well, which is like, that's not going to work out.
Yeah. I could see myself definitely burning 4, just not burning 4 to so that I could field a full 11, but burning 4 just as a way to try and find some attacking engine. Like you're saying, mm-hmm. players like Felipe Anderson and Aubameyang. If I'm looking at the rest of my team and wondering where my points are coming from, I am looking at a -4 as a calculated risk. And we'll say many times during the season, burning 4 just for one game week is rarely going to pay you back immediately. Yeah. A -4 is almost only going to pay you back over the course of 2, 3, 4 game weeks. So it's a big risk.
The annoying thing about Anderson is he's got a really nice run of fixtures coming up, but he immediately has a bad fixture. So they play Fulham in game week 27, and then he immediately plays Man City away. And so I don't know. I don't like bringing in a player where I'm only going to get one good fixture out of them. You know, like, I mean, not that I look at it in a 2 fixture window necessarily, but it's like, I don't know. It's like I kind of have to bench him for that, I feel like. And that's just kind of annoying to bring in someone I'm going to bench, you know, so soon, especially when the player that I would be bringing out, Richarlison, plays Cardiff in game week 28, and I'd be happy to play him there. I haven't had Richarlison for like his long, long run of frustration. So I'm not as angry at him as some people are, where they're just like, burn 16, like get Richarlison out, like start a new team if you have to, you know, delete your account. So I don't know. We'll see.
So FPL Stag, our good friend, he wrote in about game week 27. He has all of his chips available at the moment, but he will only have 9 at best without a hit for next game week. Free hit, good idea. What do you think?
Okay, so let's say you free hit. Okay, let's just say you played the free hit chip in game week 27. All right, you would probably still want to have Robertson, and I mean, you probably still want to have all of your Man United and Liverpool players, right?
Yeah, I am of the opinion that I'm not so scared of my players canceling each other out in that United Liverpool match. I mean, obviously, I'm scared of losing my Robertson clean sheet, but I could see that match being a real shootout.
Yeah, I could too. And I mean, I don't really mind having a couple of Wolves players for the Bournemouth. I mean, you know, I didn't look at Stag's team before we did this podcast. I mean, I don't know exactly what his team looks like, but it feels like the kind of players that you want are players like, I mean, so you play the free hit and like, okay, maybe you get Pereira on Leicester. Yeah, I mean, I guess you could get Kolasinac on Arsenal, but I mean, Arsenal can't keep clean sheets. You know, you want to get maybe one West Ham player, but I mean, like, do you really want to have two West Ham attackers? Cardiff and Watford, that feels like a total crapshoot for me. Mm-hmm. Spurs, Burnley. I mean, Burnley are a lot better right now. And I mean, if Kane is back, maybe it's more appealing. Like, if Kane is definitely going to play in that Burnley match, maybe that's, you know, maybe it's worth a free hit. But it just feels like in general,
Kane, who is this Kane guy? I feel like I Spurs haven't lost a match since he's been out.
It is kind of crazy. Yeah. I know 3-0 over Dortmund today. That's crazy. You know, Bournemouth don't have Callum Wilson. I mean, Junior Stanislaw was out sick. You know, it just doesn't feel like they're a team to invest in either. So it's like, you look up and down, you're like, well, I would just be wasting a free hit chip on bad teams, you know, like on teams that I don't trust, on teams that don't score a lot of goals, on teams with unreliable clean sheets.
Yeah.
I mean, that to me just isn't, I'm not saying that you have to use a free hit chip on a double game week, but I just don't see a lot of gimmies in this one. You know, it's like, if it's like, you know, 5 weeks from now and, you know, I don't know, it's like, you know, Liverpool at home to Huddersfield or something. And, you know, you don't have any, let's say for some reason, you don't have any Liverpool coverage. Sure. You know, triple out, like, you know, that would be worth it, you know? Yeah. But like the problem with Arsenal, I mean, this Arsenal Southampton fixture, it would be the one to theoretically triple up on, but who would you have? You know, I mean, like, I guess you could double up with Lacazette and Aubameyang. I guess that's probably what I'd do.
That'd be the move.
But, you know, I don't know. I wouldn't feel great about it.
Here's the deal. Obviously we're holding firm until the FA Cup fixtures play out this weekend, but there could be as many as 12 teams with blanks in game weeks 31 or 33. Mm-hmm. You will be in desperate need of some coverage in those game weeks. And I think you make a good and reasoned argument there, Josh, of how maybe it's A, not as bad as it looks in terms of the team you're going to put out, and B, it's not going to look much better with the free hit. So, yeah, I agree with you on that one.
That's the biggest thing. I just don't know how much better it looks. Yeah. I think you could burn 4 and basically get yourself what you get with a free hit.
Yeah. Okay. So I wanted to talk quickly about the title race, particularly the two teams that are at the top of the table, Manchester City and Liverpool. Manchester City, even though they're not playing in 27, they will be involved in a lot of our transfers heading into and out of game week 27. So it still feels germane to me. So we have a couple questions on what to do with City assets as well as Liverpool. First one comes from FPL Drunk Seamus, who asks, one Man City player to own for the rest of the season. Who's it going to be? For me, it's pretty straightforward. It's Raheem Sterling. He's in form. He seems less doubtful. Well, I guess you made the point about Aguero's form away from home. Sterling seems like a player who's less affected by his home or away form. So that would be my pick, particularly with the Champions League getting up and running. We're going to have even more anxiety about the Aguero-Jesus rotation. Mm-hmm. This goes for all Man City players, I would stipulate. But Raheem Sterling, he's my guy.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, there's not like a single one. I don't really mind rotating Man City players in and out based on their form. I mean, it just doesn't really, I don't know. Like, I think this is like the year where I just stopped caring about price changes, and it's just like, sure, drop them, bring them in. You know, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's because you're talking about a pool of one, two, three, four, maybe five players, right? The pool of five players is Sterling, Sané, Aguero, Laporte. Those are like the four that you would even consider, right? Bernardo Silva just doesn't score enough. He's just not enough of an attacker to be worthwhile. And, you know, Ederson is, I don't know. I mean, their team, you know, the two clean sheets in a row. I don't know. I mean, I guess they have a pretty good run in is the thing. I mean, you know, West Ham, Bournemouth, Watford in the next three. And they play Fulham and Cardiff back to back in 32 and 33. So,
okay. Are you not suggesting that the one player that you would have from City is a defender, are you?
Well, I mean, if I like gun to my head, I don't really know. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is that there isn't one player that I want to have for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
But I was just thinking about like various options available. And, I was, you know, just for consistency's sake, I was just considering someone like Laporte, you know, but, I mean, Sterling to me is like, he's in form now, like today, you know, he wasn't for, you know, from game weeks like 15 to 21 or, I mean, he was okay, you know, but he just wasn't like super explosive. I mean, I kind of agree. I don't know. I'm just sort of, it's a hard question to answer. How about that?
I think you speak, behalf of the entire FPL community, and you're saying what we are too, we're too egotistical to say ourselves, that we don't know. We don't know.
Yeah, I have no ego, Brandon. So that's where
it is. So it doesn't exist in you. DJ Newton wrote in and said, do you think that Sergio Aguero will play reduced minutes in the league due to the fact that the Champions League triumph is high on Pep's wish list? And Tacoma Coffee also writes in, should Sterling owners hold through the blank or hokey cokey like we have talked about doing with Aguero? Okay, so the we kind of touched upon our issues with form and rotation with regard to DJ's question on Aguero, but if we have, like, I have three City players right now with Laporte, Sané, and Aguero. I have to get, I believe I have to get rid of one of them ahead of this blank in game week 27. If I had Sterling, I'm quite sure I would just put him on the bench because, definitely. Because as we were saying, who else are you going to bring in for him? Are you going to try and hokey cokey Sterling with Felipe Anderson? I do think you're probably going to lose a certain amount of value on Sterling there, wondering whenever you bought him. Aguero is a different proposition because of what you could do doing the hokey cokey with Aubameyang, assuming you held Aguero in game week 26. And then if you have a Man City defensive asset, I'm very much going to sit on the fence on that one. It kind of just depends on your long-term goals, I think.
As much as I love Aguero and how fantastic it was to have his points, I really like the idea of I just think Aguero Aubameyang is like a pretty like fairly straightforward move in some ways, given all the Champions League stuff that was just brought up in these questions. I mean, here's the move I kind of like. I mean, you know, putting aside all the like blanks and doubles and all that stuff that will be coming eventually. So Aubameyang has two really good, like his next two fixtures are very good, right? They play, sorry, just had it up here. Let me pull it up again. They play Southampton and Bournemouth back to back at home, right? Mm-hmm. Great. Those are great fixtures.
Super.
And now he's sort of sat out a game. He's, you know, sat out a match with illness too. So he, you know, surely he will play in both those matches. And they don't have any FA Cup commitments. So, right. Because he plays two and then their schedule gets really bad. They have a couple of very difficult fixtures. And I think as we all know now, you can't play Aubameyang in difficult fixtures. I mean, you can play him, but you can't expect anything out of him in those fixtures.
Yeah, you won't be banned from the FPL game if you try it. It's not illegal.
Yeah. I know he scored a goal against Spurs, but like that's like the only – he scored one against one good team. Otherwise, it's been pretty absent. So, so you have him for the next two game weeks. And then, Brandon, in game week 29 – who plays Arsenal at home before playing Southampton away and Palace at home? None other than Mr. Harry Kane. Mm-hmm. So you wait like 3 weeks, and if Kane is ready for that March 2nd Arsenal fixture, I really like the Aubameyang to Kane move there.
Please tell me that Harry Kane is down to about 8.7 in value right now. Is that true?
No, he's still at a meaty 12.4 million.
My God.
But, you know, but the thing is about Kane is that his ownership percentage is 12.8%. It's crazy low.
Yeah, yeah.
So he will become a great player to bring in early on, you know, and sort of skip because I mean, if he goes off against Arsenal, you know, his ownership is going to skyrocket. So, you know, if you're looking to make up ground, I would be monitoring his fitness like a hawk or like some animal that monitors people closely. Cause I would, I don't know what that would be.
I think there are many animals like that out there.
Like a Komodo dragon. All right. So let's move on to Liverpool. James Q says, what's your ideal Liverpool triple up as things stand?
Yeah, and FPL Rookie goes on to ask, Liverpool defense or attacking double up going forward? So, you know, the tune has changed from a month ago or 6 weeks ago, where the obvious move seemed to be a Liverpool double up with Mo Salah. And now, suddenly, Liverpool cannot keep a clean sheet to save their lives. And right. It seems like Mane has found some form. So, I mean, I guess if I had the funds, Salah and Mane feels pretty decent to me right now. But didn't I answer this question a similar way last week, where I kind of feel good where I am right now with just two Liverpool players, with Rabo and Salah, and why can't we just leave it at that?
Yeah, I mean, Mane is just so streaky. I don't really want to have Mane again in my team. I he's really expensive too, right? He's almost 10 million. And, you know, he's kind of a little Hazard-ish in terms of, you know, his returns. He comes, you know, I don't know, like I had him at the start of the season. It was great. And then he completely, you know, fell off a cliff, you know, for a really extended period of time. And then just the last, you know, four matches, he scored four goals in a row. So I can't just like wave my hand and dismiss, you know, what he's done. But I just feel like, I don't know, I'd rather spread that money. I'd rather have someone like Son. So I feel like, I am triple up right now. I have, TAA, Robertson and Salah. And I mean, I think Robertson and Salah are the two essential players. And then, I mean, TAA is so cheap that if he is starting again, I do like him in that team. You know, I mean, it's obviously, you know, he'll have fresh legs, got a really nice run of fixtures coming up between game week 28 and 31, where they play, Watford, Everton, Burnley and Fulham. So, I think that's where I would go, especially if you were like looking to, I think he starts the next match. I mean, granted that match is away to Man United, which makes it slightly less appealing, but, God, he almost scored at the end of the Bournemouth game.
Yeah. Regardless of the fixture, I think they need him to get a little bit more, mileage on those legs before the Champions League fixture. So he's ready to go there as well.
Anything about Firmino?
Firmino's seems like a cool guy. I enjoy watching him, but
me too.
Okay. So of all the places in our FPL squads right now, I think that the trickiest template is up front. And, this leads nicely into a couple other striker questions that we have immediately upcoming, but with Jimenez and Marcus Rashford providing insane value, and it leaves this nice spot for a premium striker, the likes of Kane or Aguero or Aubameyang. Where does Firmino fit in? He doesn't. There's just no way to squeeze him in there unless you are going to go really big and brassy in the midfield.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, just looking at his numbers again, I mean, he's got, you know, 9 goals and 6 assists in the season, but, you know, 3 of them came in that ridiculous Arsenal game. And, you know, if you get rid of that one match, he's got 6 goals and 6 assists in 25 games this season. I mean, that's just not what you want out of a premium, you know, forward. I mean, a 10 million is, I guess, is 9.3 million. So, you know, but as you said, not in that like cheaper bracket. I mean, there are several, you know, forwards who are cheaper than him who've outscored him so far this season. So, but again, great player to watch.
It's also Higuain level money. And this is a guy that we're all monitoring, assuming that the wheels don't entirely come off of Chelsea, but like Kane coming back in a couple of weeks, Chelsea's fixtures really turn nice in game week 29 with a Fulham away match. And that, you know, he's another one in that price range to monitor as someone who might even be more explosive than Firmino.
Yeah, we haven't really had a chance to talk about him yet. I guess we need to see him in an easier fit. I mean, I guess you saw him in the one. It was like he had one fixture that was too easy and one that was too hard. You know, and so it was hard to really.
Where's the fixture really that's just right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, speaking of strikers, it's Aguero versus Aubameyang. And Poch, we trust on our Patreon Slack asked, should I keep Aubameyang over Aguero even after Aguero's blank? Also, FPL Bus wants to talk about premium strikers. Is it time to start thinking about having two premium strikers for the Golden Boot race, a.k.a. two of Aguero, Aubameyang, and Kane? I think it's fair to say we kind of have to wait to see if that's a viable thing to do, to shoehorn in two premium strikers, wait until Kane gets fit, wait until we get these blanks and double game week fixtures sorted out.
Right. I can't see myself doing it unless Marcus Rashford gets injured. You know, I think, because otherwise, I mean, if you brought in those two and you have Rashford, then suddenly you're looking at an incredibly expensive, you know, and honestly, Jimenez too, right? I mean, Jimenez has exactly as many goals and one more assist than Firmino does in the season. He's got 9 goals and 7 assists. He's also, you know, pace him in bonus points. I think he has 20 to his, I think Firmino has 17. Mm-hmm. And Firmino is, oh God, Jimenez is up to 6.8 million. That's insane. Yeah. I didn't know. But he started off at 5.5 million this season. So if you got him at all early, I thought his price was cheaper because he's listed at 6.4 on my page because I got him at whatever it was now. But yeah, he's even at 6.8 million.
Nice humble brag in there.
I know. He's probably even cheaper for you. I think you got him even earlier. But, you know, I think, you know, he's still only 32% owned. He's got 9 goals, 7 assists in the season. Yeah. He still have a pretty decent run of fixtures over the next three. So,
yeah.
Huddersfield and Cardiff back-to-back in 28 and 29. I'd rather have him over almost any of the premium striker options.
Yeah.
The next three.
And I think we answered in Poch We Trust question, but I think this is a good thing to underline as we head into our break and then we get into a lightning round. But our strategy for game week 27, like barring any illness, watch the news, read the newspaper, mm-hmm. read Twitter, would be to, if you already have Aubameyang, keep him for the blank and see what happens after the FA Cup fixtures. If you have Aguero, move him out in favor of Aubameyang.
Brendan, if you like your healthcare plan, you will be allowed to keep it. Okay.
the inverse universe in which the Aguero death panels are coming for you.
All right, let's take a quick break.
Okay, Josh, let's talk about our friends at Starting 11. Of course, Starting 11 is the live Premier League fantasy app. You can play on your Android or iOS device for free or for cash prizes.
I love that cash.
Gotta get that money. Any day in which there are two or more Premier League matches being played, you can just pick up this app without any budgetary restrictions at all. Pick your best 11-man squad and pick a captain. You get double points, just like in FPL. You kind of know the rules of the game, but Starting 11 takes it to the next level. It's more positive-facing points. You even get positive points for shots off target. Now, that's something you really enjoy, Josh.
I do. I like a game that's geared towards rewarding positive play as opposed to punishing mistakes.
We're even going back to Jeff Waugh from Schma's question at the top of the podcast. Why can't we adjust our lineups up until kickoff? Well, guess what, Jeff? You can do that with the Starting 11 app. It lets you tweak your lineup up to the kickoff. And after kickoff, you even get 3 live in-game substitutions that you can make on the fly, just like you're a real-life manager on the side of the pitch. Make substitutions based on form, based on real substitutions that are happening in the game, jumping on those points for your competitions. So join thousands of players worldwide who are competing in the English Premier League for cash and for pride. If you're playing on your iPhone, cash games are now live in the UK, US, Canada, and Germany. If you're on an Android device, cash games are also live in the UK, or just pick up the app and play for free wherever you are. There are also mini leagues there that you can join. You can start them with your friends or just play with people in the pub.
Yeah, Brendan, take that sawbuck. I know you've always got a sawbuck in your pocket. Take that sawbuck out, Brandon. Instead of spending it on one of your pricey cocktails, one of those expensive cocktails you love so much.
Yeah.
And in fact, that's usually two sawbucks, those cocktails.
Two at least.
Yeah. So spend one sawbuck on a beer, one sawbuck on starting 11, and watch that sawbuck. Sawbuck. I can't even say that word anymore. It's lost all meaning. I've said it so many times. But spend that wisely and watch it multiply. Many sawbucks.
I think that's a great idea. Cool. I will take my sawbuck and go to my Apple App Store or Google Play Store and download the Starting 11 app, or just head to starting11.io for more details and helpful video tutorials.
That's right, Brennan, and I will see you there. Brandon, we're back. Lightning round. Now, last week, you know, often I talk about us, you know, holding firm on the lightning round. And proud to say last week, every single answer was under 30 seconds. Most of them were under 5 seconds, actually. It was amazing. It was a double lightning round. It was incredible.
You listen at like 1.5 speed on your iPhone? Is that how you listen?
Maybe I was. I'm going to have to go. Maybe double speed, actually. I'll go back and check that out.
Okay.
All right. So let's get right into it. A couple questions about Newcastle. El Tigre says, Newcastle assets in or no?
I'm in. I'm not quite there in terms of my being able to bring them in, but I still think Rondon is a very nice option, and their defensive assets, particularly Yedlin at 4-5, pretty decent attacking player, and their fixtures are very kind.
Brennan, is there anything suspicious about Dubravka though? I mean, what's going on there? Like, they're like in the relegation zone based on, he actually had a very good game in the Wolves match until the very last moment, but you can say anything about the Spurs game where he was pretty solid until the end, and it's like you gotta hold on for the full 90, man. It's like just you can't stop, play to the whistle.
Yeah, it's been a strange run for them. It was exciting as Americans to see the MLS transplant Miguel Almiron get a few minutes at the end of that Wolves match.
Yeah, he looked like he had a little bit of zip in him.
He's got a fire in his belly.
Yeah, he's a good price too. I'm kind of intrigued by the Almiron thing. I mean, he's 6 million. It's a fun. If you wanted to be like just totally, if you were about to just like throw up your hands and give up on the season, Almiron for someone like Richarlison or Sigurdsson, I would totally go for it. Why not?
Yeah. So you look at these three home fixtures in the next five: Huddersfield, Burnley, and Everton, and sandwiched in there, we have West Ham and Bournemouth away games. So very, very good upcoming run for Newcastle. I'm pro.
Yep, me too. And then Tommy says, I'm considering Jamal Sells. Do I need to be sectioned? I don't know. Is Dubravka still going to be keeping these games?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I do think that 4-6 is decent value for what we saw from Lascelles late last season on corner kicks and set pieces.
Sure.
I like that job.
Oh, Lascelles is fantastic. It's just, he actually kind of deserves, I don't know, like, there's a lot of Newcastle fans out there. I know how much they hate this team right now or how frustrated they are, but Jamal Lascelles is like probably their best player.
Yeah. Okay, a couple questions here about Marcus Rashford, which they take an interesting turn, a very intriguing turn, these questions.
Okay.
First one comes from Little Jason. Rashford and Pogba have been FPL gold dust since Ole took over, but you could argue that two least effective games for both were against top opposition, Spurs and PSG. Now they face Liverpool, Arsenal, Manchester City in the next five, with Chelsea and PSG cup games in between. Is it time to move on? So much like what you were saying with Aguero, and we've got however many goals and however many fixtures, should we just count our winnings and move on now that the fixtures are kind of turning for United? Or do you think that United looks so good right now that you may as well just hang on?
Well, it was easier to say before the PSG game. We'll see. I mean, I'm certainly holding on for the Liverpool game, and then I may reevaluate. I mean, I think Pogba is probably still. It's so funny. I go back and forth on this a little bit. I mean, I was really feeling like Pogba of the two is the one that I would be more likely to drop. But I mean, he's kind of a perfect, like, his price point is fantastic, and. Yeah. Rashford is maybe the one that I would be a little more likely to to move at some point. You know, it seems like there's like a real value in leaving him early.
Yeah.
You know, if he starts to drop off a little bit, I mean, he's owned by 41.3% of managers, which means that there are a lot of forwards out there that aren't as highly owned.
Yeah.
So, you know, the problem though is that, I mean, the PSG thing is now just over, and I wouldn't be surprised if they just don't start up. You know, I mean, I'm sure they'll go for it a little bit, but like they're not going to be lasting any longer in the Champions League. So, and then they play Palace and Southampton in game week 28 and 29, both of which are fantastic fixtures. So, I'm just going to kind of punt on the question of what to do with Rashford and Pogba until game week 30.
Yeah, I think we're pretty well positioned here with our wild cards. And if you also look at game week 30, the Arsenal match is a fine match to run
That's
out.
True. These That's a good point. Manchester yeah, United. It's like yeah. The fixture difficult. I'm just looking on the website right now, but it's like that's marked as a 4 on the fixture difficult rating scale. I think that should be like a 2 or something.
It's just like, red. No, because, it's just red for Arsenal, right?
Yeah, it's just red for Arsenal. I see. Yeah, and green because Southampton play and they're wonderful. Green kids.
But right about that time, we'll have a very good idea of what we want to do with our wild cards, and maybe some of us will be triggering them by that point. So, yeah, I think there's more to know before we answer that question.
Yeah, I think so, too.
All right, next comes from Alex Marshall on Rashford. He suggests Rashford to Jamie Vardy to break up the template and ride Leicester's fixtures. Time to make these kinds of moves or need not be so rash yet. Excellent pun there, Alex.
Yeah, and the tie-in with that was Adam Benjamin on the Slack. He says, is the Leicester triple up needed, e.g. The way we treated Palace the start of the season with a good run of fixtures? Well, first of all, that Palace triple up didn't really work at the start of the season outside of Juan Bissaka. I don't know. I mean, are Leicester good? I don't really know. Vardy, I think, is washed up, and I would not consider Vardy. To answer that question, I think, can we just agree, no Vardy?
Yes, we can agree, no Vardy, I think. I am also, this is completely a tangent away from FPL, but I said this to you over the weekend. I am so sick of the Claude Puel narrative. How is Claude Puel remaining the most interesting manager in the Premier League? You can't watch a Leicester game without him being the lead talking point.
I don't really get it either. I guess it's because he's so European. You and I were joking, looking at that match. We watched a little bit of it on the weekend. He looks like a man who looks like that could never have been born in America. It's like there's something so – his whole like aura is European. He just exudes Europeanness. But I agree. I mean, he just looks – stands there looking incredibly unhappy and Gallic and just, you know, I just like I'm not really – and their teams are not fun either. I mean, you know, I've read an interesting article in The Athletic about this Leicester team. They actually have a lot of good young players, and I'll give them credit for starting to integrate them into the squad. But I don't know that I trust them in a fantasy perspective yet. You know, I feel like I don't quite – I mean, it is like – it's crazy. I mean, they have like just an absolutely fantastic run over the next, what, 8 or 9 game weeks. And – I guess I do want a part of it, but I do think that sometimes it's a mistake to look at those fixtures and just think, yeah, I'm going to get in. I'm going to go all in. I'm going to like, you know, really take advantage of it because there is not one attacking player. They have so many midfielders, by the way, it's an insane number of midfielders. There is not one midfielder that I would be like, yes, great. That's the one who's going to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you know, Tielemans looked good. I don't know. Madison looked okay. You know, won the pen. Damari Gray is a player I've liked for a long time. I mean, I don't really want any of them on my team, though.
Yeah, no, me either. Lastly, on Puel, though, less European, more, I've said this 100 times, that he looks like Odo from Star Trek Deep Space Nine. But I think the way to go with Leicester City is a defender. And it's sort of like a try before you buy. Just go ahead and buy a Leicester defender, be it Pereira or Maguire. I think they're both equally interesting. And that's about as much as I want of the Leicester squad with this fantastic run. I agree with you.
Yeah, exactly. Just get Pereira, you know, for somebody. I mean, maybe for Matt Doherty at some point, Doherty, whatever. Or Lucas Dean to Pereira is kind of like the perfect move, right?
Yeah, no, it is very much so. All right, next question comes from FPL Big Mac. Is it time to get Arnie back?
Ooh, true lightning round response here, Brandon. No.
That is a negative, good buddy.
Yeah, this happened last year with Mahrez. Remember Mahrez like tried to force a move to Man City. It didn't work out. And then he like had to pout for a month. And then finally, like, he kind of started to come back into the squad a little bit. Like, Arnie is still in the pouting stage right now. We'll like, let's give it like a month before we think about Arnie.
Yeah, let's do it. All right. Lego Mane chiming in here. What opportunities will there be for Agüeros? I assume this is what we're calling people who do not have Agüero to make up ground for an Agüero-esque fashion. Triple captain Aubameyang, return of Harry Kane, early wild card, or is it all over for us?
Oh, brother.
How do
Lego Mane, I love you, but come on. It's not that bad, you know? It's just not that many points. I mean, yeah, I mean, maybe a triple for Aubameyang. There's so many game weeks left. I feel like I want to like shake people by the shoulder sometimes, but there are 12 game weeks left.
Yeah.
Like most of you have a wild card left. Most of you have two or three chips left to use this season. I mean, it's kind of crazy actually. I mean, with 12 game weeks left, there are only like a handful of normal game weeks left still, yeah. You know, like where there's not going to be like fixtures missing or, you know, blanks or using a chip or anything like that. I just think there are so many opportunities to make up a ton of ground still available. And I don't really see this weekend as the time to do it.
No. And the double game weeks, they kind of go one way or another season to season. I think right now people feel based on recent seasons that double game weeks have been kind of overrated late in the season.
Yeah, we saw the opposite though, right?
I mean, right. We have. All to my point is that those could be seismic game weeks that really do change the overall rankings across the game. So there, yeah, I agree. There are so many more opportunities upcoming.
Yeah, exactly. We saw how one double game week could cause like two people who are basically tied, like one person jump like 50 or 60 points above the other person. You know, so especially because of the Aubameyang illness that led people to keep Agüero with an extra 70. And I mean to rub it in here, but I'm just saying like it was so fluky, you know, it really was. But that could happen again. It absolutely could. I think the return of Harry Kane, though, that's the one that Lego Mane mentions. That's the one I mentioned earlier on in the podcast. I think that's a great opportunity, an informed Kane. Or maybe you zig and everyone's zagging and you decide to go all in on, Eden Hazard or something like that over the next few game weeks.
Oof, bite your tongue.
I know. But like, that's how you're going to have to do it. You know, if you're going to make up ground, the concern there is if he's just like, nah, I'm going to Real Madrid. I'm not going to work too hard the rest of the season.
Next question comes from the Dork Lord. Pascal Gross looks a good Richarlison swap if he is regaining his form from last season. I mean, he's creating a lot of chances. He's connecting on a lot of passes. Is it enough to translate into an FPL prospect? Not yet for Pascal Gross.
No, and they have like the worst form of any team in the Premier League. I just don't want a team like that in that kind of form. I mean, they have four losses and a draw in their last five. I don't want anyone in that kind of situation.
Boom Shaka. Where should I look to break the template? Any interest in Newcastle assets? What do you make of the Lossell Hamer situation for game week 27? Also, Boomshaka wants to know if we should get rid of Chelsea defenders. So first things first, we already talked about Newcastle. Lossell versus Hamer. Would you start a Huddersfield goalkeeper with any degree of confidence in game week 27?
I don't know. I guess I wouldn't. I mean, they're like the worst team in the league. I don't know. I mean, maybe he gets like 2 points or something, you know, if I had Hamer, I don't know. Would you?
I don't really think it matters, to be honest.
Yeah, I know. We're never usually this stumped, but man, you start talking about Huddersfield players and it's like I immediately like fell asleep for 10 seconds. I had to wake myself up. As the Newcastle assets, like we talked about them already. Get rid of Chelsea defenders. That's an interesting one. The problem is now they're playing these Europa League games, you know, and so they're going to be playing these Thursday matches, and they take it at all seriously, then you could have some fatigue issues. I wouldn't be opposed to it, you know. I mean, even Luis, who's been kind of the you know, I don't know. I mean, it's funny because Luis has this, He has this 13-point game at home to Huddersfield in game week 25, but it was sandwiched around 2-0s and a negative one. You know, so it's a very, Lucas Dean levels of extreme.
All right. Two more questions here before we get out of here. Dave Newell on our Slack asks, what's the verdict on Chelsea? Are they totally dysfunctional and a broken team, or can they bounce back from their humiliating defeats at Bournemouth and Manchester City? Okay, so you were just talking about fatigue concerns and their defense. The team and sorry, my Siri is talking to me. I'm not sure what I said. Did I say Maurizio Sarri?
maybe, yeah.
Generally, Chelsea, they're very flaky right now. And the problem is, like, the really appealing assets like Hazard that you mentioned and some of their better defensive assets like Alonso, they're just too expensive to be able to suffer these really flaky performances. So not having any Chelsea players in my team right now, it is not somewhere I'm looking to go. But I'm here for your argument that it will be an interesting differential pick a couple weeks from now.
Eventually they will play Brighton in a double game week, Brighton at home. And if that is combined with the right fixture, then it's going to be almost irresistible not to have a couple of their players. But for now, you don't need any Chelsea players, obviously. I mean, it'd be nice to have one for game week 29 away to Fulham, but whatever, you know, I don't know. It's not going to kill you. I mean, Hazard, this is like, I mean, it's just the Aguero thing like stung so many people, but it was like, you know, Hazard got 15 points in that Huddersfield match and we all kind of shrugged it off, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't have him. It was fine. I don't know. So, you know, these hits are never as big as they seem.
All right. Take us home with this last question here, Josh.
All right. J-Rad Mile High says, is it time to start prioritizing assets that now have no upcoming blank game weeks, including Burnley, Liverpool, Leicester, or is the threat of missing out on returns of template players too great of a risk given their high ownership percentages? So I like this. We slipped a little chip theory in right at the end here, Brandon.
Very cheeky, Mr. Mile High.
Yeah, I don't think – I mean, okay, Liverpool, you're already going to have some players. Leicester – sure, you know, again, just a defender, I think. But yeah, I think in general, there is too much risk. I mean, you know, why get any of them early if you can? I mean, I know you can only save two transfers, but yeah, I mean, again, we're going to be able to wild card in the coming game weeks. And so we can sort of do that then, you know, and even if you're not wild card, and I think with careful planning, you just don't have to be too cautious here. We're also not going to have there aren't as many teams in these as many Premier League teams in the final rounds of the FA Cup as there usually is, so it's not going to be quite as extreme as it's been. It's actually, I think it's going to be a year where an early wild card isn't going to hurt you as much as it would in, you know, the last couple seasons.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Burnley is one to flag for maybe an early template buster with Barnes hitting great form, 5.6, and Chris,
your boy Tom Heaton
looked freaking amazing against Brighton. I mean, he's looked amazing since he came back and has been winning so many points for this Burnley team. But man, I do like this Burnley team right now.
Yeah, if the World Cup were this summer, is Tom Heaton the starting keeper for England?
If the World Cup were tomorrow, Tom Heaton. I can't remember who else I was chatting about this with, but Pickford is kind of had a pretty miserable season with Everton.
Oh, yeah.
And
big come down.
Very big, and I mean a huge high for them. I don't want to diminish what he did for England in the World Cup.
Sure.
But Heaton just looks a cut above based on recent performance and what we already know about both keepers long term.
Yep. So any thoughts on I think we're in agreement, right?
To be mystical about it, I think the answer lies somewhere in between, where the template is a template for a reason and you kind of have to treat it with a certain amount of care, but you know, you can't, and for that reason you can't dismiss short-term gains for what you think is a long-term play. This was the Theo Walcott effect from last season, where you'd start bringing in players because of how you want your team to look for doubles and blanks, you know, five games down the road. And this player you bring in early, Walcott, ends up burning you. Just burns your team down to the ground before you even get to those opportunities.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
but exactly. But yeah. That said, I never want to caution someone to the point where they would be blind of a differential that they really wanted to take. So, you know, if you see a player, one or two players you really like, you know, who am I to say don't go for it?
Yep. Yeah, I agree. But just be careful, you know, don't go for it all the way.
Don't go all the way. There are half measures in FPL. This is not Breaking Bad.
All right, Brandon, that is the end of the podcast. We'll save the game week 27, the full preview for next week's podcast. That'll probably be something like Sunday night. If you'd like to support the podcast, because we're recording this on Wednesday and there's no matches this coming weekend, we'll save the kitchen table for next week. But if you'd like to, join us in the Slack or, take part in the Patreon league, anything like that, go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. Or if you just want to support the podcast, which is a great reason to do it too. Brandon, why don't you thank our producers, please?
Thank you to all of our big time producers, Mike DePietro, Stephen Toomey, Sam Streak, Jacob Roberts, Carl Rasmus, Liam Granley, Chris Howell, Rafi Khan, Martin Savage, Rick Brailsford, Jim Payne, Adam Benjamin, Max Chamberlain, Brian T, Trevor Ingerson, Chris Carter, DeBig Gafford, Danny Evans, Babas Kuhn, Tor Ferdlin, and Sven Goran Husby. Also Thurston Husby the Third. He gets a shout out.
Yeah.
James Holland.
Ben Grant, and Matt Ritter. We got a lot of producers, Brandon, and thank you to all of them very sincerely.
Remember to subscribe to the podcast. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, Acast. Another way to support us, to give us a 5-star review on iTunes. It doesn't cost you anything but 30 seconds of your time, and mm-hmm. we do appreciate it. Yeah. Just rate us wherever it is that you get your podcast. Or follow us on Twitter, @HailCheaters, Instagram, @HailCheaters, Facebook.com/AlwaysCheating. Send us an email with a really long message or rate my team, whatever it is you want to know, or HailCheaters@gmail.com. For all this information and more, go to alwayscheating.com. That is our website.
Brandon, that was beautiful. I have nothing else to say except hail Lord Surloth. I'm so delighted that he keeps tearing it up in Belgium.
And hail Stephen Toomey. We're just going to jump right into this quick pod where we talk about the two cheaters ale that Stephen brewed for us. I hope you guys enjoy this as much as we enjoyed Stephen's beer.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Hail Cheaters, and welcome to the long-promised tasting of the Two Cheaters Ale, excuse me. Mm-hmm. This was created special for us by Stephen Toomey. You know that name. Longtime listeners know his name as a frequent challenger for us in the Starting 11 contest. I think that's how we first got to meet him.
Yes.
But he's been our producer patron for the podcast for the entire season, I believe.
Long time.
Yeah, and amazingly, I think Stephen's a man of many hobbies, clearly. You know, very interesting character, as you can tell by, if you go to 6Goal is where you can find him on Twitter. But Stephen went out of his way very kindly to create a six-pack of Two Cheaters Ale, and we are actually in Yale right now.
Meant to be. We had to go to a university college that rhymed with ale, and here we are. And
I smuggled a couple beers onto the Metro North today.
Yep.
We've just finished our interview with Pierre Moussa.
Yeah, so this is a celebratory first tasting of the Two Cheaters Ale, as I'm reading this beautiful label that Stephen produced for the beer that says, brewed with 100% centennial hops from the Pacific Northwest and named after two displaced Midwesterners, mm-hmm. Josh and Brandon of the Always Cheating podcast. And he
doesn't
goes on.
Does he live in San Francisco? Is that truly the Pacific Northwest?
Well, that's where the hops came from.
Right.
You know, if we're
the man came from San Francisco, the hops came from the Northwest.
Yeah, okay. And that's really a marriage made in heaven there, Stephen and hops. He goes on to say, Two Cheaters Ale is perfectly balanced, like the podcast with the signature appeal of Josh and Brandon with their always cheating chant. Stephen then says, remember, it's not cheating unless you get caught.
Our logo. Not our motto.
Well, Josh, cheers to never getting caught, and cheers to Stephen. Let's take our first sip of Two Cheaters Ale.
Very excited. By the way, thank you, Stephen. Really you, Stephen. Appreciate You're the man. It. Cheers.
Cheers.
Mmm.
That is very good. You know, it tastes like a Bell's. Any as our American listeners, I don't know if Bell's is overseas, but it tastes like a Bell's Brewery two-hearted ale, but better somehow. I don't know if it's better because of my own vanity or because it actually tastes better, but I'm really enjoying it.
You're also tasting that love that Stephen put into it.
I am tasting the love.
And a little bit of, I know Stephen is a longtime Watford fan, so I think you're tasting a little bit of Troy Deeney's essence in this beer.
I'm not sure that I knew that home brewing could both look and taste so professional. I'm very impressed with this. This is fantastic.
Yeah.
This is the kind of thing I could see you getting into, Brandon. This is like the kind of like immersive hobby that one day you too, when you like live like in your condo and have like a little, rec room on the side.
Yeah. That's the thing, isn't it? Like in New York, we have no space for such hobbies, but what appeals to me about home brewing is the cleanliness of it all. And the importance of cleaning everything top to bottom and removing all the germs. I won't be free of germs.
This is why Breaking Bad was so resonant with you.
Yeah, exactly. I was more into how clean the lab had to be. But I will never truly be free of all the germs until I'm rid of you, Josh. So this may never come to pass.
Yeah.
But thankfully, there is a thriving beer community out there on FPL. So if you're into brewing and into FPL, touch base with Steven at Sixth Goal, and he'll set you up with the whole community of brewers and football fans.
All right, now you're just rambling now.
All right,
Steven, thank you for the beer. It's delicious. Neither of us have the beer palate to describe exactly why it's so delicious, but we're enjoying it. We're super impressed, and it was an amazing gift. One of the nicest ones. Up there with Jeff Petter getting us those T-shirts a couple of years ago.
Indeed. The bar has been raised.
Extra beer T-shirts. What's next?
Yeah, an automobile. I love to drive.
All right, well, thanks, guys, for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Hail Cheaters.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.